All right, so we talked a lot about various different defunding the police elements and, you know, policy at the local level, the state, the federal level. Now, speaking of the federal level, you have an issue being made about police funding once again. This coming from Democrat Senator from Connecticut, Chris Murphy, who ended up recently saying in a CNN interview, he's interested in potentially pursuing the defunding or the withholding of federal funds from local law enforcement agencies that don't adhere to the law. In some cases, we're talking about state. In other cases, I think he's making reference even to perhaps some federal law. And you've heard some of this. Maybe there are counties within often rigid blue states that don't want to go along with whatever the state law is. And so they say, you know, we're just not going to enforce it. What about all this? Joining us to talk about it, a woman who's seen a thing or two and knows a thing or two, retired Sergeant Betsy Brentner-Smith from the National Police Association. Always good talking with you.
Brian, thanks so much for having me again, and especially to talk about this, because it's so incredibly frustrating when a federal politician or any politician starts trying to dangle that financial carrot and say, hey, you cops, if you don't do what we want, we're going to take your money away. And that's, you know, we're not surprised that Chris Murphy is doing this, but it's frustrating nonetheless.
I'm struggling with this one a little bit. I am extraordinarily sympathetic in general to the needs of law enforcement, especially at the local level. That said, I can't help but to think with this issue in particular, illegal immigration, for example, and sanctuary cities. You know, during the Trump administration, there was a call by the president, efforts made by him to withhold funds for cities that were engaging in sanctuary policy, that were violating federal law. They were not cooperating with, ICE and the federal authorities over immigration. How is this necessarily different than that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you recall what happened, you know, Trump tried to do that. The courts shut him down. The court said you can't do that. So this is the exact same issue, you know, just a different topic that we're dealing with here. Trump ultimately was not able to do that, to punish the sanctuary cities by withholding federal money. So, and Senator Murphy knows that, you know, he knows this. This is just a way for him to get media attention. And because, you know, one of his big issues has always been gun control, but he will not take the action necessary to stop gun violence. All he talks about is more gun laws, withholding money from law enforcement, things like that. We know how to stop gun violence. And that is to put people in prison for long periods of time when they violate the gun laws that we already have on the books. A perfect example is the Colorado Springs LGBTQ nightclub shooting. Had that young man been put in prison for the gun crime and the violent crime that he committed a year before, this shooting would not have happened.
You bring up a really good point. We're speaking with retired Sergeant Betsy Brentner-Smith from the National Police Association, which is, you know, the laws of Colorado were not adhered to ultimately in that case. And we'll talk about things like, you know, more laws, red flag laws and the like. I mean, that could have been implemented and for whatever reason and in a blue state, it was not.
That's correct, because again, the politicians love to talk about more laws, but remember, they have built this platform for 2.5 years on the criminal justice system is evil, cops are evil, prison is evil, we just have to help people and they won't commit any more crime. We have the highest 3 years of homicides in this nation right now because of all that nonsensical rhetoric that we just can't be imprisoning criminals. One of the best ways to stop a violent criminal is to age them. That is something that we talked about in the 90s when, you know, yes, Joe Biden signed that 90s crime bill. Everyone wants to talk about how that bill was terrible. It was racist, this and that. You know what it did? It put a big slowdown on violent crime in this country, and we're going to have to do it again. People are going to have to go to prison. We're going to have lots and lots of police officers who are going to be allowed to do their job, and then we're going to need prosecutors who have the intestinal fortitude to take cases to court, ask for lengthy sentences, and put people away.
That, of course, has been at the crux of a lot of the problems here over the past couple of years in particular, where you had a lot of the Soros-backed prosecutors at the local level that ended up winning elections and have led to a lot of the free-for-all kind of policies that have been taking place in a lot of communities. So to kind of bring this back around, you know, to law enforcement, the local level, and policy, I'm a rules guy. You know, given your background in law enforcement, you probably appreciate that. And I'm kind of on the mindset that, like, if I don't like the laws, then, it, you know, it's incumbent upon me to have those that represent me change them or move if that becomes the thing. But in the case of law enforcement agencies deciding that they're not going to enforce the law, I mean, that does seem like it can be a slippery slope.
Well, absolutely. And I don't think that's what is going to happen. I think the rhetoric that you've heard about, you know, law enforcement isn't going to enforce these laws. It's laws that either don't exist or that are, you know, poorly written. You know, people need to understand that law enforcement officers, every one of us in this country, puts up our right hand when we get hired and takes an oath to support the Constitution of the United States. A big part of that is the Second Amendment. So I think that's some of the pushback that you're hearing from some police leaders. A lot of them are sheriffs. And then when we look at the red flag laws, I would love everyone listening to go locate the red flag laws in your state or in your county and see what they actually say, because a lot of them, most of them, frankly, are poorly written and they're incredibly subjective. That's why liberty-minded people tend to not like them, because what red flags are is my next-door neighbor doesn't like a political sign, for example, that they see in my front yard, so they can call the police and say, hey, that Smith girl that lives next to me, she's crazy and she's got a bunch of guns. I think you should take them away. And very often that's exactly what happens. And I was involved in this as a police officer, where we would have domestic disputes where one or the other party would call the police and say, you know, hey, you got to take his guns away. And in Illinois, we were forced to do that, even though people had done nothing wrong. It's all about due process. And very often red flag laws do not involve proper due process.
Yeah, it's been a hot button in our state. We do have one in Florida as part of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School Safety Act. And it's less subjective than some of what's out there. But there is ultimately a judge that becomes the arbiter as to whether, you know, somebody who, you know, is deemed a threat by those that are specified to be able to offer them up as a potential threat. It's ultimately up to them if those guns are given back or not. So, anyway, it's great talking with you as always, and appreciate your perspective on this and all the issues.
Thanks so much for having us on again. We sure appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you bet it. That is Retired Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith with the National Police Association.